This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, November 4th, 2009.
Okay. I call this meeting to order at 12:26 p.m., Wednesday, November 4th, General Employee Assembly meeting. In B12 Day Hall, Jason Seymour Chair. What's that?
316.
That's where we are. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Our agenda says B12. Okay. Correction. We are back in our regular boardroom. I'm going to forego the roll call. All members are present except for Gary and Leon. Leon has another commitment, and Gary may be at a division meeting. The Office of Assembly staff are in a division meeting as well, and we have a student clerk taking portion of the minutes, and Tanya is doing the other notes and stuff for collaboration. So, do we have any late additions to the agenda? Because of any meeting where you'd like to talk a lot more, this would be the meeting to do it, since we're not jam-packed like usual. Okay.
Next semester in January.
Is January good for you? For probably.
Yeah, almost around the end of January.
Okay. I'll check the calendar with the exec staff and see when we can schedule that.
Do we want to have a full EA meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially for the Trillium staff to talk about the EA.
Okay. We were going to have an EA meeting at a location in Kennedy Hall for Trillium staff to come to our meeting and talk.
So. Yeah, and so I need to check
the
schedule,
the academic
calendars,
because the meeting holiday, so, and I should get back to
you on this. Okay. You need to come to Geneva, too. Yes. We can make a day of it. As long as there's wine tasting.
Aren't there some outlet malls up that way?
Okay, our business of the day is really going to talk more in depth about our committee involvement. So I guess we will do that committee by committee in our committee reports. So report from employee elected trustee. Beth is not here. She did not submit a report. Report from faculty senate liaison.
No meeting since our last meeting.
Okay. Yeah, report from the chair. I don't have anything to report. I'm going to be working on the calendar a little bit for the foregoing year. Going to work on a new agenda setting method where we use Confluence to lay out all the agendas for the year, and so that we can tentatively put speakers in there, and so that we can all look at the agendas and know how they're evolving throughout the year instead of doing it by a per meeting by meeting basis. And we're going to start out with the exec team being able to edit that. But once I get the framework in place, I'll send out a link and to you all to show you how you can log in and view how the agendas are forming for upcoming meetings.
Can you tell us what is Confluence?
Confluence is an enterprise grade wiki. And a wiki is essentially a website where you can edit the website right there in a web browser. So there's probably maybe even up to thousands of Confluence sites, individual sections on the Cornell's Confluence server right now. It can be used for group collaboration, documentation. Some people are using it actually as a website.
We use them like for the box topics.
Okay, well, I guess that's all I have. Should we take a minute to review the minutes of our October 21st meeting? Did anybody review them via email? We don't have copies right now.
I have copies. Anybody else see it?
Okay. Sure, pass them around if you want. We can just take them in. I think Leon submitted a minor typo correction.
I will. He fixed it.
Oh.
I couldn't find it in the latest version.
Okay.
I don't know if you can find it.
Entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So move.
With Leon's correction?
Yes, with Leon's correction. If it's not in there,
I found it. It's not in any business.
Okay. So his correction was just from, it was a he to a the.
The.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, he said he thought he EA.
Okay. With the correction? Second? Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the October 21, 2009 minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstain? Minutes approved of October 21. All right. Let's move on to committee reports. Like I said, we talked about the calendar and agenda planning. Anything you want to add to that?
From our last executive meeting, there wasn't really at that meeting. It seemed like everything I want to talk about was from afterwards, the emails that came in the week after. So I don't have much from that particular meeting.
Do you want to bring up any of those emails? You mentioned the
cell phone. We can't under new business. I was going to wait.
Okay. Cell phones. We also received an inquiry about leave policy. I kind of vaguely share that. I don't have my notes in front of me, but all right. Anything else on the executive committee? Okay. So staff recognition and awards.
There was some discussion of that actually in executive committee about possibly rolling the executive committee group into staff recognition and awards. It only really meets two or three times, rather than having a whole separate breakout committee, that we can make that extension of exec committee and then invite the one or two people who wanted to be on the committee to that group as well. So I know you weren't there for that. That's what we talked about. And we have a couple of people who have put an application for the George Peter Award, so we'll get to work on that shortly.
Did we decide that we were going to just assume?
It was a discussion. I don't think it was decided.
Okay.
So, and not everybody was there.
Okay. Who were you missing?
We're missing Alan.
Okay. Do you have any other staff recognition and awards committee members that are non-EA members?
There are three.
Okay.
So we could do it just with that group.
Okay.
And then, David, should I share what we kind of talked about after the executive and whole pay it forward idea?
Yeah, sure.
One thing you were talking about, David and I, just after the meeting, just been talking about staff recognition, and it would be great to get a read from people, is we thought about just a really simple idea of doing, well, two ideas. One of them is kind of a pay it forward idea, so one day we would just get some post-it notes or something, this is just a concept, and walk up to another staff member and say, you know, you're doing a great job, thank you, pay it forward, and then they can turn around and pass it to someone else so that people are hearing thank you from mm-hmm. other staff members that we're acknowledging the work that we all do. So that was one thing we kind of talked about a little bit. And another thing was seeing if we could work with the Paw Print to do kind of an employee of the week idea, because the George Peter Award is a bigger deal, and we don't give out a ton of those, but you know, anyone can kind of write in and say, you know, hey, this staff member went above and beyond for me this week. They really helped me do this, that, or the other thing. And I, you know, I think that they'd be a great employee of the week. Maybe we could just do a little blurb on them in Paw Print so they can just hear more about any employee on campus doing something.
How would you kind of publicize the submission process for that, or would it be a Paw Print
probably
thing?
Paw Print and
contact us via this,
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, it was literally a 5-minute conversation that we just had after that meeting.
That's reminding me. I'm piggyback on that. There's one column in the Ithaca Journal that I like. It's the darts. It's the darts and laurels. I don't care for the darts so much, but the laurels are really
right.
nice to read. I wondered, is that sort of the same idea?
Right. Just a, it,
yeah.
it's not a huge
yeah.
thing. It's not
yeah.
a party. It's not a
yeah.
award. But it's just a hey, you know.
Yeah. Something different.
Right. I was having a problem finding out this information, and this person was incredibly helpful.
Does anybody else have any comments on staff recognition and awards in general? I mean, should we be increasing our recognition and awards as an employee assembly, or?
How does the selection of who is recognized work? I mean, is it just kind of a...
Well, that would be kind of through the committee.
That's one source, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Like, how did the Gannett staff recognition...
That actually, there was no real process other than the executive committee meeting and talking about, you know, who the award should go to. And I think Alan kind of started with the, you know, let's think about the unsung kind of people who, you know, let's not think about, you know, the higher level people who are already acknowledged, but let's think about the other people. And that's kind of how we came to that.
I thought we maybe, if somebody said, well, why don't we recognize a group of people?
Yeah.
So we're making the, okay, we're not, like, because in past years at the employee, the president's address, the staff, one person was specially recognized with an employee appreciation award. And it, with timing of the event and realizing, oh, we should do something, you know, we couldn't single out one person. So it was like, well, could we recognize a group? Well, what group has really stepped up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just very quickly, clearly went to Gannett of how they just organized and did an awesome job of preparing for, you know, who knows what type of epidemic, endemic, any of the emics, you know. So
I think in general there must be groups of people around the campus who are worthy of that recognition as opposed to one single individual. There's inevitably going to be other people supporting them, so I don't know if a more regular group acknowledgement is would make any sense, because I think it helps spread the good feeling, spread the love or whatever, as opposed to be one person, which is nice, but it feels a little isolated.
Well, and it could be a person, it could be someone nominating the group. I mean, it's, you know, kind of a concept in the
So what I think is, you know, we have the idea of the executive committee assuming the work of the staff recognition and awards committee during a period of low membership of that committee. But if other members
since we have new members to the table now, if we can get more members in that group that they can exist as a committee on their own again, maybe with some outside employee participation, then that group can always work on all of the staff recognition and awards throughout the year and be thinking more in advance to, well, who would we offer the award to at our next president's address staff, rather than, you know, getting in the situation we got before where, oh yeah, you know, forgot about that. So,
or increasing the number of awards, or
yeah,
delegating a group award, an idea that I like to myself. But I think it would be appropriate to have some committee come up with the award recognition proposal that encompasses both the type of thing we were just talking about in paw print, which is sort of more of a laurel than a big award, and then the annual award, and then perhaps periodic awards, and maybe a group vote. But it'd be nice to hear that as one package from a committee. We've thought it through. We've talked to paw print. We've talked to Mary Opperman. We've talked to Gary, who knows a lot about communication, maybe even a prior member, get some history, and then this is what we came up with. And I don't think we have enough to just go on right now, but I think...
Oh, no, I'm not saying...
Yeah, but I think if a group, a small group, whether it's exec and or an increased committee, mm-hmm. studied it, said, it's not a big deal, I don't think. It's just making a couple of phone calls, getting some input as to what works, what are there any flaws. In past, I've heard, well, what's the criteria for the selection? And then everything gets bogged down because nobody can quite decide. But if it's more of a laurel to just, hey, acknowledging some positive thing that was done, then maybe that answers the whole criteria question. So
maybe you can consider setting a meeting to discuss with the existing, or get the three employees that are participants on the committee, other EA members that are interested in it, and brainstorming and hashing out some of these ideas in more detail. I just want to point out that you know, if you introduce something new, I'd like us to see where we establish all of the steps involved, like, you know, who's going to be responsible for finding the people, and what will the criteria be. I mean, something for the paw print may be much less criteria than obviously the George Peter Award. And the criteria for our president's address appreciation award should have some criteria to it. And I think going back and reading some history with the OA and let's really start to document what we do around here. And that's another thing that we can use Confluence for. And Tanya's had an idea of this before. You know, she organized a lot of the president's address. Well, you know, you got bits and pieces from people word of mouth, but if this was all written down somewhere, like, okay, the president's address of staff, you've now been delegated to coordinate it, what do you do? Well, there could be a checklist there that can be passed from year to year. So we should have more things in all of our committees of, rather than the word of mouth passed down and, you know, share among the experience of people that are still on the EA that have been in there for years and teaching the newcomers, that we rely more on some actual documented, passed down. And I think the awards committee is a good place for some of that as well. All the committees need it. So you'll find the time to, I mean, I don't, not urgent, but I think I'll keep something done before, you know, our next, well, and then the George Peter Awards, and I don't know what the time frame is on that. We offer them out twice a year.
Well, again, you know, it's nothing established that I found. So.
Okay.
But Amy's getting me the list of applicants right now.
Okay. Good. Anything else on recognition awards?
I have a question. How many awards are there all total?
Well, that is the other question. Right now, the only award that particular group is responsible for is the George Peter Award, to my knowledge. And then there's been a question of how many we give out every year. I don't think there's an established number.
And what about the unsung hero that we...
That was the award that we did for the president's address, and that's once a year, and that came out of the executive committee. I don't know if it belongs in staff recognition awards. I don't know.
Well, I think it probably should.
But it probably should, but I don't, historically, I don't know if it was or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not sure the history of how long there was always an appreciation award of some, or an award of anything at the president's address. It could have been a last 3-4 years phenomenon, but I mean, sounds like it's a good opportunity because you've amassed a large number of staff
mm-hmm.
come hear the president. It's our event. We put the whole thing on. It is the most ideal time to do a recognition award. So I think it would be appropriate to have it in that committee. Just want to get some more members in there to do that work of that committee. And it's not going to be a lot of work if you're just doing a few different specific awards throughout the year. It all depends on if the committee has to review criteria and stuff, like specifically for the George Peter Award and how all that works. Okay. Communications.
I have a list of probably like 7 confirmed members, but I reached out to all of them. And last week got to go ahead to pretty much start having my meetings, so possibly as early as next week, I'll schedule my first communications committee meeting. And I might actually have access to more members from last year. That's the one thing I need to do yet, is look up last year's committee members and see, reach out to them too, so I may end up with even more people.
What I emailed you were the people who resubmitted that they wanted to be on the committee.
Recently?
That was the last email you sent, right, with the name.
Right.
Recently?
Before our last EA meeting, I sent out an email with whomever went through the ticket system and said that they wanted to be on a committee.
Okay. That was every committee, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was every committee.
Yeah, but some people might have missed the email, and those that did, and that's what he's talking about.
I definitely reached out to those people, but I thought I would look at like last year's actual committee list, just to see.
Is that on the last point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are the names that you sent out, are you done?
No, I think they were just confirmed because they went through the ticket system and stuff, right?
I guess there is an email that was sent out at the end of the year before saying, do you want to be reappointed to your committee? And people respond back in that they want to be reappointed.
And then those people are they on the list there? Those individual list of addresses, those are in there?
They will be on there. I emailed Ari to ask them if they're on there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's to be an official, blessed, went through the system member of a committee means you essentially are on that listserv, and the listserv should be used for communication to the committee members. It's the fine art of continuing to massage this process of renewal. Maybe it would be easier if they just look, once you're on a committee, you're always on a committee. And so we have a staff, you know, too many people on a committee, but we normally don't. So like when David sends out publicity to announce his committee meeting, he'll send it out to the committee members, but, you know, I think all committees could be open to employees at large to come and attend. And maybe they want to just get their feet wet and see what the committee is about. And if they decide they would like to formally be a member of the committee, they could apply and then be part of the listserv and all that type of thing. Every time that I've done things like that, you know, you don't get that many people anyway. So, but as we gear up communication and start to do new things, people will become more aware of the employee assembly and how to get engaged, so we make the committee membership change.
So we should advertise campus-wide, is that what you're saying? To all staff?
Well, that's a communication thing to figure out. In the past, you know, what you can do, pertains to all committees, is you get your room secured and locate, you know, you let your members know, let the OA, the Office of Assemblies know. They can post it on the EA website that there's a meeting existing. You could go to the Cornell events calendar and post it yourself there. And I don't think there has ever been an official mechanism to communicate that committees are meeting, but the basics are, you know, you post it on the OA website. And
that's a good idea.
Is that other things in communications?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know what you'll be talking about at the first upcoming meeting?
Resolutions. Security. Our security resolution?
Oh, yeah.
And possibly several others.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for David?
I do have one. Is there a difference between communication and publicity? Or are those two together? You know what I mean? Like publicizing. You're talking about publicizing the event, publicizing committees, right, upcoming events, that kind of thing, versus sort of the kind of the policy of communication.
Yeah.
Is there...
It seems like it's all kind of fallen under communication so far. I mean, when we had to get our mass email out for the president's address, it kind of fell on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through Mary Offerman to make that happen. And I've been dealing actually with some staff members on an individual basis, questions or concerns, so on, things like that. So, yeah, I've even had to deal with the newspapers a little bit. So it seems like anything within that.
Yeah, the scope of the EA, the communications committee, is kind of unusual. What do they communicate? What we're doing? I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, everything that we do almost seems to stem around communications in some point. And we know that we've got to do things better, but we also know that we're also stuck in the same situation that everybody else is on campus, is how do you reach thousands of employees, you know, appropriately and to try to get the right response back. So, I mean, we're trying to get employee participation in our committees, employee awareness of the employee assembly, knowing that they can contact us and reach us. I mean, those are all things that are... our efforts of the EA as a whole and the communications committee. And then the communications committee kind of helps support all the committees, because every committee is going to need some type of communication aspect to it. So that is a good distinction, I mean, communication and publicity, because publicity is, we've got something coming up. How do we get the word out there? Communication, on the other hand, could be the realm of other services that we provide, like a mailing list, a Facebook page, a website, a blog, you know, all those other things that are things that we could develop in the future. So,
mm-hmm. I don't know that we need like a publicity committee or something like that. I don't know that we would have that much.
From my point of view, as the committee chair, can I go to the communications committee's help for, say, publicity, or is that something that each chair does on their own? So there's that piece. Like, where is there like an overarching kind of expectation about the kind of communication that's set by the communications committee? No.
No set rules.
But I would think that a chair would want to run by communications their plan, so that because they get the experience, the knowledge, the who to have it, where to go. You might wind up doing it, but I think they should be consulted
as a
Or bring it to the rest of the EA, and then it would by default fall on to me, and we'll publicize. Free lunch somewhere.
All right. Anything else? Communication? Or publicity? We've just renamed your committee.
Yeah.
Publicity or marketing?
It's now
not use your.
It's all communication.
It is. Yeah.
It's now compub. Compubcom.
Wow.
The CPC.
CPC. I kind of like that.
The CPC.
I'm excited to have our first committee meeting.
So, finance isn't really a committee anymore, but I think this title is supposed to be committee reports. So, you have anything on finance?
Nothing. Waiting the final report on our.
I asked Amy about it. She was waiting on something that she was getting to her before she.
Mm-hmm. As soon as I have that, I'll report out on how that went.
What report?
On the expenditures for the president's address.
Oh, I know what she's waiting for, the bill from PDC on the seal and the podium. That's what she was waiting for.
Do we have an indication that we went over, or did we get somebody give us money at the last minute for the extra food?
Peggy gave us the money for the extra 50 stubs, or was going to if we went over.
Okay.
But we were under by $50 on printing, so. But I'm waiting.
I make no predictions. It sounds like we're in the right ballpark. That's my sense of it. But you know, number of people like me, we're exact.
We have a financial forecast. How are our investments doing? All right, now we got a big one: emergency grant care fund.
I am trying to learn from the past chair all about the sticky mess that this fund is. She's promised to meet with me a few times and had to cancel, so she's on my committee for the next one. I think I'll just hold a meeting, and if I can't meet with her on my own to understand it, I'll just hold a meeting and make her school me at the meeting.
We may have to coordinate it with our visit to Geneva, and we could just tackle her.
Yeah. So,
hope you're listening to the minutes, Pat.
One thing she did tell me to do was to get my name on the, so I could monitor the fund. The fund's still sitting there. So
okay.
I do have access to Web Financials to monitor the fund.
You do now?
I do now.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. It's just, she needs to hand over the folder to me, but I'll just pull my first meeting together. And
how much do we have in the fund?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
It's in the long-term investment pool.
Okay.
Most of it. There's a lot of money. Yeah. We don't have to do fundraising. I think she told me. There's enough there.
Okay. So to give a quick, few-minute summary of the status of this committee for our new members and a summary for everybody is that at the end, the last term of the employee assembly, a motion was put on the table, or we were acting on a motion to essentially dissolve this committee and move the fund to HR, where your former job was. Is that was a division of it? Was to move the emergency grant care fund to HR for future implementation. It had a very heated pros and cons of that motion with people that had created it. You know, the employee assembly created the fund, didn't want to lose the name recognition. There was, you know, people saying, well, you know, there's a lot of management involved to review the criteria of who should be able to get the fund, and then, you know, a committee would have to meet, and, you know, this could be an HR function. And what had happened was is the motion appeared to pass because it would require a charter change. It appeared at the meeting that the motion carried. However, in further review, we did not have enough votes in order to change the charter. So it ends up that the motion failed. And now we're back to where we are today, as we still have this, the money hasn't moved. And we need to decide as a group, is this something we should continue to maintain? And I think you'll find out more about the time involved to manage that and to, you know, what a committee needs to do. And the thing is, you know, should that be, the very fundamental question, I think, is, you know, should this be some, a function of the EA to administer a fund for emergency grant purposes to employees? There's also, I believe this fund was extended to faculty as well, which kind of puts us out of our realm of representation because we don't represent the faculty. So there's all sorts of different issues. I think if we can get a summary from you, and maybe even if Pat wants to come and re-present it to us, we can prepare a new motion and this, determine how this EA wants to vote on this issue. We're going to keep it, and if we keep it, we have to maintain it properly. We have to be able to publicize that it exists, and then if an emergency happens to an employee, like, you know, can you give me an example? I mean, like, if your house burns down, yeah. Was that a class of criteria that did qualify for a grant? Yeah. You know, how do you receive the submissions and, you know, evaluate the criteria and cut the checks, and how does that all work? I mean,
then there's other things. You want to talk about what you learned?
Oh, yeah. The Johnson School has their own emergency grant fund.
Hmm. For employees. Can someone apply for both?
Which has a cap of, I think, $5,000. Ours is capped at one. And so the question I had is, can somebody apply for both and get both? And so they would be at a much greater advantage than other employees if they went to that.
Wouldn't you have to be a Johnson employee? Or
well,
them?
Right, yeah. A Johnson School employee would have the opportunity.
But they could get $5,000 from them and
$1,000 from us. So, you know, is that something we would want to think about, to say if you've applied for another emergency grant program, then that. So the criteria, those things just need to be thought through. Because I think one of the biggest things when they came to talk to us last time is, if we were ever audited about who got it and who didn't, can we defend it and say that we had a very objective way of determining who got it and didn't? Because that could be a problem. You would know that on the compliance end, to say, you know, here we have this fund, and what criteria are you using? Do you have established criteria? And how can you determine who got it and didn't? And what if by some fluke the criteria we use looks discriminatory? I mean, we're not having criteria, but who was selected looks discriminatory because we don't have established criteria. That could be a problem for us.
Do we know who the person is? When you're looking at that, do you know who the person is, or is it blind?
I don't know. I don't know, but
blind, then there's no.
It goes in, my understanding is right now it goes in through the Faculty and Staff Assistance Program, is where the person puts the application in. When I read online.
We haven't had any, right? There haven't been
I've
any?
Had a couple of employees who had wanted the hardship fund that HR had put out, but it's now closed.
Yeah.
So then they said, well, can I go for the employee emergency grant fund? You know, my spouse just lost their job. You know, my spouse is disabled. And I said, well, you can certainly, you know, look into it and apply for it. But if you read the nature of it, I don't know necessarily it would qualify, but, you know, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, see, those are the sticky situations.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It isn't, like you said, my spouse lost their job. Well, the Cornell employee didn't lose their job, but they had a hardship or emergency in their family. So, I agree, and you know, the compliance and audit was a thread in the discussion.
Yeah.
It seemed at the time it seemed more like it was a, you know, scare you into, you know, oh, if we get audited. Well, if the money's just sitting there right now, we're not doing anything. You know, hopefully, we can't do too much damage. But you know, some of the discussion made you really think. Yes, the criteria has to be found and followed and applied the same, and you know, is that something that we want a committee to do and have to do that work? Or because it, you know, the employee assembly invented it, created it, it was a good thing, it's awesome. The employee assembly in the past used to do events to raise money to populate that fund, and I can tell you from doing events with the employee assembly, especially a very big one, is we learned that it is very hard to coordinate a massive event on campus as an employee assembly member. We do this position part-time in addition to our full-time jobs. and as volunteers. I mean, when I did a lot of the coordination for the energy fair, I mean, it was massively time consuming. And so should we be in the business of running and maintaining big events or programs? And this is like a program now. It's got feet. Let's move it where it can be continually implemented. You know.
Especially when we change hands every 2 years on the committees. And then you mm-hmm. got to make sure that the next group does all the same rules and it follows to this.
Right. Do you know, Linda, if your office, my old office, your new office, is, or any wing of HR is interested in assuming it before we go to all this work about whether we want to give it to somebody?
I know Lena mentioned it to me. In fact, she thought that we kind of had it.
You already had it.
Because she had heard after the last employee assembly meeting, I'm like, no. Kind of the decision kind of went that way. So I had already started going out and taking a look outside of Cornell at other companies and other universities' programs to see what criteria was out there to understand what else was done. And that's when I discovered the Johnson School.
I never heard of it either.
They don't really want people to know about it because I asked them about it and they were like, don't you touch her. You know, don't think you're going to bring a taste out. No, it's okay. They were, I was like, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to get information. We don't want to touch it, you know. So I think that, you know, they are trying to keep it, you know, a little quieter. But I think it's a legitimate question to ask is do we want to consider still offering when someone else gets a fund, because then people who work for the Johnson School get a greater benefit, but they get a greater benefit right now anyway as a result of their fund being a more diverse fund.
Yeah, my own view is that, we should maybe think about how much work you have to go through to then present that back. I'm not against that, but I think, I wasn't there for the vote that happened. Then, you know,
you missed one of the most intense, powerful meetings EA has seen in years.
I heard all about it, and the replay review then nullified it. But
that was all left out when I volunteered to chair this too.
What's that?
So
I think a lot can be said that, you know, the EA founded it. It did a lot of hard work to build up the money, conducted a lot of fundraising activities. Has managed it, but you know, it's no different than a lot of other funds that people raise and then turn it over, donate, whatever the concept is, to some other group. It could be the EA Heart Emergency Grant Fund administered by, and you give certain criteria that the EA would like the administrator to follow, some broad guidelines, and then you turn it over to the group that at Cornell that administers a whole host of hardship-related grant funds that my old office, your office does. There's child care grant, you know, there's adoption assistance grant, there was the hardship grant, and who knows what other things are going to come along. So I'm not so sure, given the new constituency, but I'd like anybody, you know, who would like, that we have to go through. That was the sense of the body, although it failed because of the that it was changing the charter. So, you know, I don't know that it requires, and I think there'd be some benefit to deciding this quickly, because if it's going to, in the unlikely but possible event that somebody does apply, maybe it'll happen, and it, quote, qualifies, and then who's administering it, and what are we doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it in myself in some hands that can do it, they're used to administering grants. And it can come with all the recognition that it deserves, that it is an EA created. This is not, it did not come out of general revenues of Cornell or the benefit pool or any such thing. You know, this came from the EA, and it could always be so recognized. But so I don't know whether that's something to bring up to the next agenda, you know, formal, you know, do we have to go through the committee thing, or can we have Pat can weigh in and remove the motion, or
that's the question I have, because what I understand is someone signed up online that is this committee very near and dear to them, and I haven't pulled the meeting together, so do I have to have my committee meeting or invite that whole committee to the meeting that we decide on? Does that make sense to you? There's somebody on the committee that
is not an EA member.
Is not an EA member that is very near and dear to them, I guess.
I would say because the committee is small, maybe you should just touch base with that person one-on-one.
Okay.
And discuss it, and discuss it with Pat. Get as much history that you can gain on it for yourself personally, so that you, in connection with maybe Pat, can present it to this whole group.
Okay.
And begin working on, you know, in consultation with the people you talk to, try to gain an understanding of where this should go. And if so, we will all help in framing the resolution so that it is worded appropriately and passable. The other issues were logistics, that it was a very important decision at the very last meeting of the term. Mm-hmm. That was, it just, and we had to like crank it, it out, and it just, it didn't leave enough room for the original idea, the concept to be presented to the EA, have a time of review, reflection, question asking. It all just came out very fast at the end with pushing for the action because Pat wasn't going to be a returning EA member. So
no one's received this yet, this grant, and hasn't actually been awarded to anyone.
Not recently.
Not recently.
Yeah,
not recently.
Okay.
The award hasn't happened. Yeah.
How long has it been in existence? I guess it falls into the communications thing, like, all right, I'm the publicity thing. I'm unfamiliar with it. I guess if more people knew about it, it would be something that more people would take interest in. Certainly,
I think it's been around at least since I've been here, since 2002.
Yeah.
Because I'm familiar with the fundraising efforts to promote it. So how long it was in existence before then, I don't know, but I think for a good long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it actively currently publicized somewhere on Cornell websites or on the EAP?
Yeah,
or
on
the
EA website. Yeah, and I think it's also on the Care and Community page.
Okay.
I think that it's on there is a link to from the EA to the EA from the Care and Community page.
And I would guess that, you know, in people that are well versed in what goes on at Cornell, like an HR person or something that knew of a employee in their department under distress would know to mention this fund, and I think that's probably just of who you know and what you know and where.
Oh yeah, I would hope all HR
would be
aware of
it.
Somebody came forward to them. Yes, I think that's correct.
And it might be nice to do as a reminder once a year because new HR people do come on board, and I think you're absolutely right that's the place because they're the ones who get the call right away to say so and so's not going to be here. Their husband's out this morning at 4 a.m.
Right,
and they've lost everything. You know, to say right away, this is the way Cornell can get right in and help them right away if they know about that. I didn't know about it as an HR generalist when I first started here. It took me about a year or two to find out about it because something happened. So I'm just saying it's not part of a regular
organization.
But I was all around to find out about it from Central HR. They did tell me about it, but I didn't know out in my own little distributed unit. So I think it'd be good if we could do that as one of our communications things once a year to do. You know, even if we don't administer.
How big is your to-do list?
No.
Are you noting that? You noting that on your company?
But David, that only if we keep it.
Is that your communication?
I think even if we don't keep administration, I think the point that Al was making is it's still our fund because we still, you know, I think if I remember correctly, there was a few conditional things on the transfer, like that an EA member would need to still sit on the team that decided, and there might be conditional things too on the EA would like to approve the final criteria before they're officially anointed, and I would think that there would still be those, so that there is still that.
I think
EA
that our new resolution on this matter should address some of those things. I don't think those minor details weren't vetted so much, because I think it was one person. Well, some people said, well, we should have two people. And then, you know, what Alan said, maybe the official name should be the Employee Assembly's Care Fund.
Exactly.
And that wasn't in there. But if we do attach our name to it, what responsibility do we have for it? Do we still have to coordinate fundraiser events? Or, you know, how is money going to get back into this fund? Or maybe we take on a publicity role of, in connection with HR,
to let staff know that this fund exists that they can donate money into? You know, those are the questions that really need to be answered if we're going to maintain some type of name recognition or ownership or contribution to the fund. So,
by the way, you raise a point that reminds me. You know, the HR community meets quarterly as a group, and they're usually looking for people to speak and agenda items. It would might be a good idea for the EA to grab 10 or 15 minutes of one of those meetings and just talk about things that we think HR representatives should know about the EA. They're all there, hundreds of people, and, you know, like this fund, for example, the existence of it, or anything else. It's a way to get directly into the HR community. Mary's there, all of the directors are there, so it's probably, and I'm
it's
sure we could, I'm sure, you know, we could get 15 minutes on an agenda
good idea.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who the contact is who organizes those?
Get on agenda? I would call
Kathy
Sullivan.
Yeah, Kathy Sullivan.
And Mary Oppenheim's office.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can talk to Mary about that at our next meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on quickly here to personnel policy.
Yeah, I think there was only one person on the list, and I have not reached out yet to that individual because it seems a little bit like one person, and Tempa and I were co-chairs of that.
Yeah, and we have the location, we have the stream, but they haven't decided the time.
They haven't decided the time. There is one policy that I kind of would like to lob out to the group to look at, which is the flexible work policy, because on my team we're looking to revamp it, and we feel right now that it doesn't do a great job in its current format of addressing flexibility in all populations. So I think it's a really, and I mean it brings up things like flexing time so that people can take classes, flexing time so people can do wellness, and a series of different things that are not included currently in the policy. So I think it's a really rich policy to have that group take a look at. There's other groups who are also taking a look at it too. I'm working with the HR community, but I really feel it would be great to have the employees on the
that
is one of
I was just going to ask, did you have any
policies
in mind?
That's our major revision this year. so I would love that to be the one that we take a look at. And we are really trying to look at how we can extend more flexibility with bargaining unit and hourly employee, things like telecommuting and such. So I think it's a really right policy to have our group look at.
Okay.
So, and
that's why
Alan, I'd really love to
have
him
involved
on the team.
Yeah, no, I mean, in any policy like that, I've done several for your new office, my old office. The EA is a stakeholder, so one way or another, you would have come through here. But this, I happen to think it's a good idea to get more, you know, actually
earlier on
deeper feedback rather than just breezing through the OA and the EA and the this A and, the, you know, which is the typical sort of stakeholder process, so we can have a deeper influence. So I'd be happy to work on that. Something I've been in Lynette's office to revise that for a long time.
Yeah, so I think that's going to, well, I know that's one of the top three priorities for this year. So, and I know I can't do the meeting for the next 3 weeks, because I've got seven training programs and two major presentations, which I'm not done with all those yet. but the following week, the week of Thanksgiving, I actually am kind of more open, so maybe we can do an initial one that week. I'll work with Tampa to find out and do something up at Trillium.
I'm away.
You're away, so maybe we can do the week after.
We can.
Okay.
Well, it sounds great that you, I think it's a really good policy to identify. It connects to even our own involvement of flexing away from work to be participants of EA members.
I think that's a big piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the things that stood out to me, is I think that's a huge thing, because we all do flex to be here, participate on the different committees that we participate on. So I do think it's a really relevant policy to look at.
Great.
And I have also two topics to talk about, to review and make changes for the internal staff transfer, and also time away from work. I feel that I'm not sure whether it is relevant to bring it up, and but through my own experience and through my own experience, I feel that it needs some changes, you know, for the bargaining unit. And so I'm not sure how it will work out, you know, but and also there was a line stated that we can do review and changes with the support of EA. So I'm not sure how it works.
We can't formally change policy, but what our committees do is we're charged by our charter, and that's blessed by the Board of Trustees and the President's office, to formally review policy at Cornell and make formal recommendations to the President. So in a committee, for example, you'll take a look at this policy or any policy with your committee members. You'll review it. You'll say, what do we want changed? And you'll document those things. And ultimately, what you're working towards is writing a resolution that will come to this body to approve, that will be formally submitted to the President, saying the employees at Cornell, you know, represented by the employee assembly, would recommend these changes to policy. And the President is then obligated to reply back to us and saying, well, I'll take that under advisement, or no, or yes, I'll do it. And so, you know, they'll make it so. But this is where we can talk it in committee. You can have open forums with employees saying and that's where you publicize, you know, an open forum on, hey, we're going to brainstorm some things on the flexible work policy. You know, come on out and share your ideas and brainstorm with us. And you're collecting those ideas and you're massaging the changes, and you're almost basically doing the work for the administration if you can, you know, solve the problems and solve for the any conflicts that may come with your recommendations. And so
I'd like to make one amendment to that. So now I'm actually responsible for a lot of these HR academic and non-academic policies, the so-called personnel policies. And there's a person in my office, Lauren Jacoby, who's very knowledgeable of such things. So probably, since I'm on this committee, we would probably work through my office as a resource. And it may not have to go that way. It could come into a resolution, or it could come that the policy could be changed through the policy changing process. I'm not sure that the President, Jason, can dictate a policy change. The policies, if you look at them, are owned by various offices around Cornell. There's a responsible office for each policy, and it's at the Vice President's office. So Vice President of Finance owns some policies, Vice President of HR owns some policies, et cetera. So first thing you do, all right, what policy am I changing? Who's responsible for it? Then you talk about how to change it, and it could be an EA resolution. It might actually go to that Vice President rather than the President, who I'm not sure could change a policy like that. And some policies can be changed very easily if it's a technical change, if it's a clarification. Others, if it's, quote, substantive, have to go through the university policy office process, which includes what I was hinting at before, a stakeholder process, a submission to various high-level university committees. So you'd have to look at it policy by policy, piece by piece, to know the exact process. But it certainly could originate with an EA motion, and I think it would make sense for our office to be involved in that and give background and feedback to things that we tried in the past, or why it's not that way, or maybe why it should be that way, et cetera.
I think maybe with that said, I think we need to understand a little bit more about how policies do change. But I mean, our charter says we submit things up to the President. the president can give a response in connection with his senior staff.
Right. He might then say, and good idea, I'm going to refer it to the vice president of HR.
Right, yeah.
To carry through. I just didn't want to leave the impression that the president could necessarily unilaterally
change
the policy.
I didn't mean to intend that.
But the process may well be that. The president said, this is a good idea. Mary Opperman, would you please have your office, someone, whether it's me or you, depending on who's the office within the office that administers it.
Right.
Take a look at that and see if see what can be done.
Okay. Sounds good. Good start. Good places to start too. IOC?
No.
Yeah. University benefits, there's nothing there. University benefits for new members is a cross a governance committee. It's not a committee of the employee assembly. We are a participant in it, and it has been on hiatus for a good length of time now. Not by our doing, but just the financial climate in general. So it's kind of like on hiatus until further notice. Employee education?
Well, I'm learning a lot about this stuff. I did schedule a meeting, put out a notice when I got emails back, when I got back to my office, but people couldn't make it, so I had no one show up that day. But it was okay. At least the word is out, and I'm going to try again, I think from a different time. I assumed that lunchtime would be a really good time for to have a meeting, if everybody can take that, time off. But now I'm thinking that maybe on a non-lunch hour and not on a Wednesday. One of the members informed me that she wouldn't be able to participate on a Wednesday. So I'll have to find another time. So I'm going to wait, another couple of weeks before I schedule another one. In the meantime, I've been talking informally to employees about their interests in education and how that's, what their questions or issues are. And I'm starting to collect quite a number of interesting stories from people who are using the benefit in one form or another and have had lots of mixed, results of it. So I don't really know yet I think where the education committee has left off, according to Jason, is just now just looking at the policy as a whole and to then begin to decide, where the gaps are, what it actually means for different people. But in the meantime, I'm getting more and more informed about what kinds of issues and concerns are actually coming up for folks. Flex time is obviously an obvious one. Other ones are, reimbursement, inside and outside the university. Other ones are, how do you account, what's accrued time, whether or not you're full-time or part-time, and that makes you eligible for that benefit. So there's lots of questions about that. So people have a lot of questions and concerns about it. And so I think it'll be a lively committee once we get a meeting. so I'm going to try again in a couple of weeks.
I'm going to throw one thing out there because we lost two employees for this reason. I believe Syracuse and I know University of Rochester both have a program that a spouse or a partner can also take classes.
Yeah.
And we lost the director because, there were other reasons, but one of the main reasons is the position that he was offered up at University of Rochester that his wife was going to be able to take classes.
There we go. Right.
And so I just throw that out as something to think about. I don't want to put more on your plate, but just throw it out because I know two cases of that.
And I think I'm getting the sense, I know we have to hurry this up, but I'm getting the picture that's starting to come together. I mean, all this time I had kind of made assumptions about the education benefit as being very complete. And what I'm beginning to understand is that there are many more incompleteness about it than I had realized. So it'll be an interesting debate in deciding, prioritizing what would be the first thing to address. So thanks for the feedback.
That's good. Thanks. Ad hoc charter review, I think we'll give just a quick update on that since Leanne's not here. We are working on a current model of expanding the EA to potentially like 30-some seats and changing the representation model not by how we're currently set up, but more by geographical or business unit type layer. And we've submitted some of the suggested business units to Mary Opperman, and she's
provided some good feedback and is willing to meet with the committee to maybe polish those units up into more logical pots of sizable numbers of people. So we're still working on that, and I think maybe coming forward with some more information to this table soon. Mary did caution that it's, you know, we're already in a massive amounts of change at the university. This might not be the strategic time to be expanding the EA, and I thought that was an interesting observation. You know, at a time when people are a little stressed to be doing volunteer activities with jobs cuts and everything on the table, but you know, this is at least the road work is being done. And if it doesn't happen this year, maybe, you know, it will happen in future years. So we'll see. And there's also the proposal is a time frame of how would we age out the existing seats. So you have to accommodate that, you know, we'd have a 2-year cycle. You know, it could be like if we approve it and it gets modified in our charter, it may not be implemented in full for like up to 2 years because, you know, some of the implementation would be in place and elsewhere. So, okay. Cornell and transition update. Does anyone have anything to add in that? I think we're all just anxiously awaiting the release of some information from.
When's like the Bain, official Bain report get presented? Or
it,
I thought it was already due, right?
October 27th, I think, was the date. October 27th was the date it was supposed to have been.
And by the end of December, we should hear.
Yes, we were. I was hoping we'd hear from Beth on what happened at the trustees meeting, but well, we will follow up on what the Bain portion of that is. Any old business, new business, or open forum miscellaneous? We're already over a few minutes. Did you want to?
We are.
Want to talk about this or wait till another meeting?
Cell phone thing. We can wait.
Okay. And the leave policy too. That's something I don't necessarily bring up. We could talk. Maybe talk it. Bring it to your attention.
Yeah.
Personnel policy.
Yeah.
So. If there's not anything else, I think we've had a good discussion and covered a lot about what our committees are going to do, how we're going to do it going forward. So this is good. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
1:33 p.m. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.